On tonight's episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Valencia and Rebecca are best friends and Josh is lonely. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I wish I was in this like music video.
I know, right?
With the hearts. Hey, what's up, you guys? Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We're back at it with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and I'm so excited to be back here just diving into this whole craziness of an episode. Before we get into the show, I want to introduce myself. It's your girl, Trinae, and I am joined by my favorite people on a Sunday. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm Miriam Gonzalez.
Hey, guys, I'm Renee Ariel. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
Yeah, where can we find you at?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez and on Instagram at Miriam G1.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at your girl Trinae. So it was a lot of girl power in this episode.
Oh, yeah. I was into it.
Yeah, we saw firsthand when Rebecca was just on a mission to become Valencia's newfound guardian. It was like she was sort of just... That was her purpose for the whole episode, was reconnecting with Valencia.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was so funny. So, Rebecca, like flat out, to be like, I'll fix you. We're going through the same thing. And I found that hysterical. And I love that Valencia was at such like a weak point. Like, she did give in. She was like, fine, we'll get food together. I loved it.
I think that Rebecca has this obsessive compulsive thing going on. First it's Josh, then it's Greg, then it's back to Josh, now it's Valencia, then it's Paula, although it's never Paula. Poor Paula.
I know.
Like, short end of the stick.
Yes, thank you.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we can definitely just kind of dive into that. Paula, basically, we see that it's her first day of school. So, obviously, they transitioned into, you know, maybe some days later or months later, I'm assuming. And she's in class, and Rebecca, being the good friend she is, goes with her to class. Now, it was weird because one of the students she met named Senil, which he's a really good actor. I don't know his name, but he's hilarious. He basically was like, Rebecca's just me, me, me.
Yeah, and she is.
Well, it's to the point where he thought that Rebecca was her child. And especially, I mean, first she brings her, you know, she brings Paula a little lunchbox and she packs two juice boxes for her. But then it's like the neediness of Rebecca pops back into the situation. It's like, oh, my throat's kind of dry. So obviously she's like, can I have the second juice box? You know, and so Sunil picks up on this behavior from Rebecca and automatically assumes that this is her child. They are obviously a nice amount of years apart that could be possible,
yeah.
But it's not. It's her best friend.
Yeah, I would have actually been a little bit insulted if I were Paula and someone's like, is that your daughter? Like, how old do you think I am? What do you mean, is this my daughter?
Right.
Would we look like we have a significant age gap or something?
Right. I mean, Paula, I just feel bad for her because she never says no to Rebecca.
Oh, no.
I mean, what if she really needed that juice box? For later on in class. She's
yeah.
parched and needed
Why
that.
Why do you think it is that she never... That she kind of, like, bows down to Rebecca? Is she more of, like, a best friend or an idol or a mentor to some degree?
It seems like she's a mentor. What do you think?
I think that she feels like Rebecca's mom. She's made that reference before herself that, like... That she is kind of like, she does mother her. And I think that's why we were talking about this last week, that's why she's like more sensitive when it comes to Rebecca and telling her about the abortion that she got, telling her what's going on in her life because she doesn't want to like harm or hurt Rebecca because she's fragile. And I mean, us as viewers know she's fragile. She's
yeah.
a little bit of a nutcase.
Mm.
We love it. But, I mean, I think that's where Paula's coming from. She's aware how delusional Rebecca is.
Right. She even said, that's my best friend, and I just had an abortion. I couldn't even talk to her about it. That was really deep.
Yeah.
Because it's like, she obviously is crying out for a friend. Like, even if she wasn't comfortable enough to tell Rebecca what happened, at least maybe she needs some bonding time, like the two of them, so that she can then feel comfortable to say something.
Well, the problem is Rebecca makes everything about her. And we see that when she's sitting with, I always forget the neighbor's name.
Oh, Heather.
When she's sitting with Heather, and because everything is all about Rebecca, 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 and Josh Land, you know, she's paying her every time she says Josh's name. That's $5. Dude, I wish I had that bet with some of my friends, because I would be loaded. I would be rich. But, you know, she makes it all about her. And so, I don't know, like, this, her relationship with, I feel like Paula finds Rebecca intriguing and interesting, because here she is, this sophisticated woman who has this, you know, really good career, although she took it to, you know, nobody goes back east.
Right.
You know what I mean? She, you know, there's just something about her that you're drawn to and you want to take care of her. But the whole me thing is just terrible. And the fact, like I said, she's making all of her friends, she's paying her friends to talk about her problems.
Right.
She needs a therapist.
Right, Dr. Acapulco.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, we've seen in the last couple episodes, or just maybe the last episode, like, Rebecca did try to reach out and ask Paula what's going on with her. There are, most of the time, totally in her own world. But, like, lately I have seen her try to figure out what's up with other people. Like, today with Daryl, she tried asking him why he's sad. Last episode, I believe she tried asking Paula twice. The first time, I think she kind of brushed it off. The second time, she really wanted to know it was the perfect time, and Paula still didn't tell her. So, I mean, as much as we can blame Rebecca, because Rebecca does for sure think about herself, number one, most of the time. But I do think lately she has been trying to think about other people. But Paula is the one that's kind of pushed Rebecca away and distanced herself lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we see why. Obviously, Paula is the kind of friend who needs excitement in her life. We see that her new friend, Sanal, they kind of have a common interest because they're both after this note-taking app that one of the college students in the class has. And it's funny because he basically told Paula, Nunya, and then he says, Nunya, mind your business, bitch. Like,
yeah, I loved that. I thought that was so funny. Because as soon as he said Nunya, I'm like, I know what he means. I know where this is going.
She's like, what is that app called?
Yeah.
Nunya.
Oh, is that, do I get that on iTunes? He goes, no, it means none your business, beach. Like, he said, like, beach.
Yeah,
not
like,
really,
it was, like, yeah. Exaggerated.
Yeah. He was funny. I thought he was hysterical. I really enjoyed him.
It's a great app to have, and I can't blame him. When you're in, you know, at her age now in college, something like that could be really helpful, because it's hard to keep up when people are taking notes and the lectures are going on and on.
Right.
You miss things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we take notes for this show, and sometimes things are missed.
Yeah, that's true. And she hasn't been in school for so many years.
Yeah,
I know. Jumping right back into law school and having to take notes, why couldn't the kid be nice? So he's not nice at all. So they take it under their own measures and find the kid's dorm.
I love the recon.
Yeah, this is great. Broke into the kid's dorm room, and Sanal ends up being, like, really, you know, he was an engineer before he decided he wanted to do something else. So they broke into his computer and got the note-taking app.
Good for them. I want to see next episode them using it in front of him and then just being like, yeah.
What
I got
up,
it.
Biatch.
Right.
That's just them leaning back, like, yeah, I'm taking notes just like you.
He's like, and we have something else better. We have it all here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, yeah, you know, we see that Paula kind of thrives off on being able to have some sort of, like, friend who's like, let's get into this kind of trouble, or let's do something fun that we both gets us excited and gives us an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, this is like the new mission. Like, she had the mission with Becca, which was with Josh, and then Paula did all the sneaky work in that situation, and then she had to quit that because it got a little addicting and she got a little crazy. But this is kind of her new baby, if you will.
I think it's because, I mean, and we saw this maybe like in last season when Paula was having dinner, was it a Thanksgiving dinner,
mm-hmm.
with her family, and she's on the phone, and she's in this boring life that's very, like, groundhog repetitive. And so, like, to her and her husband, sure, they hang out. Sure, they do man and wife things together. But they're not really connected. There's no excitement in that marriage. Mm. And so when you have someone like Rebecca who brings a little bit of crazy in your life, you're like, yes.
I need this.
But then it gets a little too extreme, so she backs away because she, you know, she realizes she needs to do something for herself. And then she comes across Sunil. And Sunil is like this new, exciting person who's also dealt with loss, because now we have Paula with loss. True. She had to make a really big decision as far as, do I start my career in law or do I, you know, do I not? So, you know, she goes and she has this abortion, which that's a big decision for a woman to make. But you have to think about Paula's situation. Like, one, she's already raised her kids. Two, she's bored with her marriage. Now to bring a baby back into the mix when she's really more excited about becoming a lawyer.
Right.
That was a hard decision. And the fact that she can't communicate with Rebecca about it is really sad.
Yeah, yeah. And we did see a lot of communication and throughout this episode. I mean, clearly, the mantra was to connect, heal, and reconnect, right?
Well, it was kind of like when you, like, Control-Alt-Delete.
Yeah.
It was refresh, connect, yes. and heal.
Yes, refresh, mm-hmm. connect, and heal. And they decided to go to Electric Mesa, which basically, she tricked Valencia and told her they were going to go get some food. And then they end up at this healing festival, outside festival, that kind of gave me, like, Coachella wellness vibes.
Yeah, it was their version of Burning Man.
Okay.
Yeah, and I only recently heard about Burning Man from a friend, actually. I had no idea what it was, but it's like this crazy, huge festival that really is mainly about music and art and disconnecting from, you know, the world, and you're just with all these people in the middle of nowhere, and it's just craziness. So it was definitely like a very, like small version of this.
Yeah.
But I got some Burning Man vibes as well.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
It was a nice little retreat for both of them. One, Rebecca needs to get out of her crazy little head, but obviously there's motive behind it. And Valencia, we see, is just like one too many people peed in her Cheerios. She's like sad, and we see her eating her feelings and, you know, just really disconnected.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the fact that Rebecca kidnaps her and brings her to this Electric Mesa, which is almost like a hopped up yoga retreat in the valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm mad at you. I'm a big yogi. But, you know, it was, once they got there, and once they got into, like, the drinking of the drugs thing, I think it was a good thing. One, because Valencia is a big yoga person.
Right.
So you see everyone, like, in the main...
in their...
dome, right. You know, meditating and stretching out and in Savasana, which is, like, corpse pose. And they're just laying there, just kind of connecting to the earth. And Valencia has not been doing that with herself.
She hasn't yeah.
been
taking...
Self-care is so important. And when you're going through a breakup, it's even more important.
Yeah, you... I mean, we definitely see that, how she's just, like, never got to deal with the breakup. And now she's finally coming to terms with it, because when they take the triceratops drug, which was called high tea, they ended up gulping down two, and all of a sudden they go into this trip, which we see Valencia goes into ballet trip and Rebecca goes into ballet dancer trip.
I thought it was really funny, actually, because I would have thought the opposite scenario for each character. I thought Valencia would have been the angry one, like, you were my boyfriend for a bazillion years.
Right.
Then here comes this chick, and she comes stomping on my game, ruining my life. Like,
I mean, this is super huge of Valencia. You're friends. You're becoming friends with the side chick.
I know.
When you think about it, right?
It's true. It's true. But I think at the end, like, I love that they figured out, like, it's better, like, to stick together, and that they have a common enemy. Josh, he's the one that was still flirting with Rebecca. He's the one that kissed Rebecca while he was still dating Valencia. Like, yes, that was terrible of Rebecca, but I think Valencia understands that she was also obsessed and in love with her boyfriend, whatever they knew each other from camp. I think, like, they finally accepted the situation for what it was and realized who really, truly hurt them both was not each other. It was Josh.
That's true. I mean, and we see that they both have a commonality. I mean, they really put a lot aside for him. Like we find out, you know, once they wake up from this trip, we find out that Rebecca's actually really angry. Like, her hurt is anger because she feels like he used her. He just, like, you know, took her at a vulnerable time in her life and just took advantage of her, basically. And then we find out that Valencia is actually sad and that he left the relationship emotionally a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So that's why she killed the relationship.
I don't think that he left the relationship. I mean, I think Josh, the character of Josh, is so like, dun, 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 you know what yeah. I mean? Like, he's just so clueless that he didn't realize that Valencia was slipping away because of Rebecca. Had Rebecca not come into the picture, he wouldn't have had, like, an extra distraction. He wouldn't have had, like, an extra butterfly moment. You know what I mean? But now here's this chick that's being really imposing herself from like, 20 years ago. And Valencia picked up on that. And I think what winds up happening between them is he's clueless and distracted over something that's really not that important to him. And she's taking that as, I'm losing him. So there's this whole push-pull thing that's happened
right.
between them. And so now you have Rebecca and Valencia. I love that they're hanging out, honestly.
It's empowering, right?
yeah. I actually think that we haven't really seen Josh when he's, like, super invested, obsessed, and in love with someone. Like, the first time we saw Josh was as soon as Rebecca came to town. That's the first time we saw him with Valencia. Here's the thing. I trust that he did step out of the relationship emotionally a long time ago. I think that was before we saw him in the show, his introduction to the show. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll realize that once this possible new relationship develops and see how he acts when he's, like, newly obsessed with someone. I mean, like, like, actually tries to put an effort. I mean, he wasn't even really putting an effort with Valencia at all. Valencia was with him for a long time. She wanted a ring. He wasn't willing to put a ring on her. He didn't want to commit to her fully. He was, like, half in the relationship, half not in the relationship, wasn't really trying. And we can say, like, well, that's Josh's personality, because to an extent it is, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone's, like, a little different when, like, they're in love and they're trying to make something work. We do go the extra mile, like, regardless of how, like, aloof we are, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, some miscommunication could come, you know? He wasn't ready. Maybe they could have went and got some, like, therapy. They were together for, like, 10 plus years. Like, maybe there needed to be some of that, and just a lot of their feelings weren't really addressed throughout the relationship.
I think Josh is a day-to-day, I'm living, like, I'm not thinking about tomorrow, I'm thinking about today. And you have someone like Valencia, who's a strong personality, who is controlling to a certain degree. Eventually, what winds up happening is you have this guy who's aloof and someone who's controlling, and it's like two magnets that just won't connect. It's just pushing each other apart. And that's what happened between the two of them. And Rebecca was the perfect excuse to make that, to finalize that.
Right, because she was controlling too.
Yeah.
So maybe this new chick will be aloof too. So,
well, she's
she's dreamy. But yeah, speaking of that, you know, we find out that Josh is somewhat lonely now. I mean, he's at work, he's organizing everything 4 hours before the store even actually opens.
Yeah, six hours before his shift.
Yeah, 6 hours before his shift. And his coworker, you know, tells him, you're lonely now. I mean, you don't have any women in your life. And he breaks into this new song talking about how his thoughts are just all over the place. I mean, this was super relatable, because when you know, it was kind of showing, like, how is a transition after you get out of a relationship? You know, do you deal with the terms of being alone, or do you hop into a new relationship? And we've seen that with him just kind of tackling his thoughts and trying to be positive, how his brain or his mind was telling him elsewise. I mean, else, you know, otherwise. So what did you guys think about that?
When you're doing any kind of transition, whether it's a breakup or just any sort of life transition, new job, whatever, to be left alone with your thoughts can be really brutal for some people. Like, they don't know how to handle that. That's why you have alcoholics in the world and you have drug addicts. And you know, with him, his vice is, you know, what did he say, scraping off Legos and stuff like that. He doesn't know how to cope. He's been being taken care of from his mother's house to Valencia's house, and now it's like, oh, what? He's by himself, and he doesn't know how to deal. And I love the thought bubble thing.
Thoughts.
Yeah. The thought bubble thing was great. I mean, especially when they, like, brought in Edgar Allan Poe, and then, you know, Obama's dog, Bo. I mean, it was fantastic. He just, you know, he doesn't know how to deal. And eventually what winds up happening is you have to deal.
Yeah,
We see that in this episode. We see him now, like, go, and his boss is like, by the way, the music died at, you know,
Electric Mesa.
Right. And so he has to go out there and fix it. And, you know, what an ego boost for him when he fixes it. Like, he's like, everyone's like, you saved the day. He needed that.
Yeah. And were you going to say anything?
Yeah, I agree. I think they made the point of just him or his coworker saying that he was a serial monogamous dater. And so this is the first time, yeah, that he's, like, alone in life and he's just trying to find a purpose. And when you're, like, trying to find your purpose, like, you don't have, like, a set routine aside from going to work now. Like, what other Greg left. Josh is busy doing things. Hester and his mom started a dating podcast. That's hysterical. But, like, all of his interpersonal relationships in his life are, like, gone. Like, he doesn't have anything aside from himself and his work. So what we're seeing is Josh being like, literally all I know what to do right now is be at work. And so he's just trying to find any purpose for himself. He'll do whatever it takes. And now I think because of that, it's possible that Josh could become the crazy current boyfriend with this new girl because he doesn't have a purpose right now aside from his work. And so once it's just that and a romantic interest, whoo, that could get obsessive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there was a lot of closure in this episode. It's ironic how the speakers blew out and then Josh is the main guy who goes and fixes it. And that's when we see the girls see him. And this was just a perfect point for them to come to terms with getting the answers that they needed. So we see them, you know, see Josh. They're trying to hide out. Rebecca's like, no, we can't avoid him. We need to show him that this is real. We're going to eat his heart.
Like, she was so funny. She looked so angry. I was so scared. I'm like, what is she going to do to him?
Crazy, right? Yeah,
so funny.
Amounts of crazy. And I would say that I was not expecting them to have the idea to pee on the speakers.
Oh, I don't think anyone was.
Well, it was more the equipment that he was using, which means the speakers were fine, but now whatever he brought to fix it, he's got to touch and pick back up.
Right. She was like, we're going to pee on all his equipment just like he marked his territory on us. She was being really empowering. She was, you know, really beefing everything up and getting Valencia excited, giving Valencia the confidence she needed. And all of a sudden, Josh comes in and sees both of his ex relationships right there in front of him. And he's like, wait, did you guys just pee?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been even more funny if Hattie caught them peeing.
I know.
I think the keys were a dead giveaway. Yeah. Apparently, this is something Rebecca does often, is hide things down her panties. And so...
if they were... I mean, you guys heard her when she said, they were in my... underwear, that's where they were.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, they weren't there. They were somewhere else.
Oh my gosh.
But I love Valencia's reaction. I was not expecting that because we've seen Valencia so, like, unconfident, or just completely insecure, feeling so down this whole episode. I mean, really since the introduction of Valencia this season. So I love that moment. She's like, yeah, we did pee on your equipment. What? I loved that moment, because what a weird thing to own up to proudly.
Right.
Like, yeah, I did. What are you gonna do about it, Josh?
Right.
I thought it was hysterical.
Is it complicated? Yeah, they start mocking him.
That, when they were mocking him, that was my favorite. Yeah. And he's just like, you guys are really mean. It was so funny.
Yeah, so it was kind of, that was just kind of over, done with. Josh runs into the new girl who we find out is played by Brittany Snow.
I love her.
Yeah, she's all great. Sweet, and the thoughts come up, and he's like, this, you know, when, once the moment where he's like, oh, he realizes, okay, I'm okay being lonely, all of a sudden, this dreamy girl walks in, and he gives those butterflies, you know, the butterflies you get when you first like someone. And his whole perspective and the whole idea now changes. And yeah, we realize that that's going to be something new probably going on. And the sad part of the ending was that we see a whole new transition, a whole new, like, just different flip of this episode, because Paula walks in with Sino. And they both have their friendship bracelets on, and we then see V, and we see Heather and Rebecca. You know, they've clicked up, they're friends now. And it's almost like this awkward situation between Paula and Rebecca. It was like they hadn't seen each other in 2 months or something.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. Well, the thing is, it's because Paula's been busy, clearly very busy. They've been disconnected because Paula used to be so, I would say, too involved in Rebecca's life, and now she's not really at all. She refuses to. She'll give some advice, but she wouldn't even give advice some of the time. And because Rebecca can't really help Paula because Paula won't open up to her, there's just, like, so much distance between them that it makes it awkward, because it feels like it's not even really their friendship right now. It's just, like, someone, like, just somebody that they used to be close to, and now Paula has her new life, kind of, and then we see Rebecca's new life, and then when they're brought together, they still kind of go their separate ways, right. And it was sad.
It was sad.
Well, they're on different playing fields now. I mean, and we see when Rebecca's sitting with Valencia and with Heather, that now they're both in on the "you pay me $5 when you mention Josh's name."
Right.
And Paula doesn't want to even hear Josh's name, right, because she was all about Team Josh. And then, of course, Rebecca goes, like, straight Greg. And then back to Josh. Like, she's burnt out on it. And she needed a new adventure. And now she's having one with someone who is not as needy. Not needy at all.
No common
interest.
And he
totally could be needy, considering, you know, when they're first initially in the first day of law school, you know, she blurts out about the abortion. He's like, yeah, my wife died like 9 months ago. And he's like, she's like, you win. So he could be really needy, and he's not. So this is like a comfortable thing. They have more common ground as far as loss is concerned, as far as this new adventure and the possible gain that comes attached to it. And then the excitement, of course, of breaking in and
right,
the friendship bracelets. And it's cute.
It is cute.
It is. It is. And, you know, a lot's going to happen. We're going to see a lot of changes. And, you know, the show, basically, AfterBuzz, can't run without sponsorship. So if you haven't heard of it, it's a new ad. It's a top-shelf comedy ad that's going for $3.99. And it's called CISO. CISO has nearly endless supply of top-shelf comedy, literally months of exclusive originals, face-melting stand-up, next-day late night, and a great catalog of classics.
That's awesome.
And it's a free an ad-free streaming service. It's all original series, hand-picked classics, like I said, and it's so bingeable worthy in comedy. You can watch it anytime, anywhere. Every episode of SNL ever is on there, including new episodes the day after they air. The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, and Late Night with Seth Meyers the day after air. And even they have classics like 30 Rock, Parks and Recreations, and Saved by the Bell. So I'm like so in this. Yeah. It's like British comedies, like the original Office. Where can you get that at? The entire Monty Python catalog, the IT Crowd, and Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge. And comedy. If you don't know the next big names, this is the place to find it out. You can find out, you know, who the biggest icons were before they blew up. They have throwback episodes of Louis C.K. when he had hair, Hannibal Buress, Chelsea Peretti, Amy Schumer, Bo Burnham, and so many more. And there's also critically acclaimed originals and exclusive content like Harmon Quest, which if any of you have heard of Ricky and Morty, this is basically a improv animated live action journey that was started by the writers of Ricky and Morty. And it's just great. There's so much you can just watch here. And right now, if you guys are interested, which I know you guys are, you can try CISO free for 2 months when you use promo code PODCASTONE at checkout. Shows you can get anywhere else. This is great. You can go to SEESO.com right now to sign up for 2 months free with the promo code PODCASTONE at checkout. So you guys definitely want to go and do this. It's great. Yeah. If you're into just like looking comedy late night hours or in the morning, this is a thing to do.
That sounds awesome. I want to see Louis C.K. with hair.
Like, I know, right?
Like, I want to see what that looks like. And I also love SNL. And I love anything comedy, and I'm always looking for, like, just funny comedian videos. So this sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, guys, definitely check that out. CISO. Now, I am so happy that we get to be a part of, like, a comedy show. I mean, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it's going to be getting even more crazier. So we might as well jump into predictions, right? Woo! Oh, my gosh. So I'm just going to start off with my girl Renee.
Hey. Okay, so I think we're going to see like a lovesick puppy Josh in this next episode with Brittany Snow, and just see. I don't think that both Rebecca and Valencia are going to get jealous, but I think one of them is, and I think it's going to create problems in this new friendship, this new trio. I also think that Paula and Rebecca are just going to grow more and more distant throughout the season until, like, an eventual blow-up, because Paula's going to be like, you didn't even know I had an abortion. And then Rebecca's going to be like, you didn't tell me when I asked. It's going to be some huge fight. I think we're going to see just more of Josh and Daryl just in love and happy and getting closer, possibly moving in together soon. And, yeah, and hopefully a new love interest for either Valencia or Rebecca. I'd love to see that.
Always love predictions. I like the whole girl squad thing that's happening.
Girl squad?
Yes. Love it. Like, do it. You know, I see a love triangle.
Okay.
I see a love triangle. Josh is going to, you know, be with Cutie Patootie Brittany Snow. And both of them are going to be hating life. Now, of the two, who's going to be crazier? The obvious, Rebecca. She's going to lose her mind, because it's one of those, if I can't have him, neither can you. And then who knows, maybe she'll recruit her to be part of the girl squad, because Josh will do something kind of whoops-a-daisy, and that'll just be that. As far as Paula and Rebecca, I agree with you. Their relationship is just going to grow even more and more further apart, especially because we see, like, in the previews for next week, Rebecca's making an effort, but Paula just is not interested. Like, these are not her girls. This is not her crew. This is not her squad. And, you know, it's going to cause a big wedge between them. As far as White Josh and D, who I love their relationship. We saw how they kind of had this, like, moment in this episode where there was doubt and insecurity and then reassurance. So it was, like, that refreshed connect and heal situation.
In the relationship.
Which was really great, because they were able to finally communicate with one another about how they feel about each other. We got the three magic words out of them today. And as Josh is, you know, while Josh is doing his, like, crazy angry crunches. But we see that, you know, they both want more. But they didn't want to scare each other off with that thought. So I see their relationship really growing and them being in love. I mean, they ended the episode with them holding, both of them holding Madison's hand, getting boba, you know, and the fact that he, like, you know, brought a snail, even though now she likes Pegasus. And who doesn't like unicorns, right?
Right. They're just going to be, you know, love in the air for them.
Yes.
So I definitely think that Rebecca and Paula, you know, we're going to see this, like, big sister, little sister type of feud. Next episode, which is going to be December 2nd, for those who don't know. I think that there's going to be, like, some sort of musical mashup between the both of them. Just kind of, like, you know, maybe spilling of her saying, you know, I had an abortion. But definitely going to be, like, really, really, like... Paula probably doing the opera and Rebecca, you know, just them both going head to head in a song. And then also I think that Josh is going to, he's not going to know how to handle this new crush that he has. I mean, he's going to probably come on way too strong. And I feel like the girl's just going to kind of just pop out of the episode. Like, it'll be, you know, she was there once, but then we won't really see her that often. Maybe, like, he has a one-night stand or something. And he's all heartbroken because he liked her. And, yeah, she's nowhere to be found now.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, she's free love. She's out.
She's like, I was here, now I'm gone. So we usually do this, like, crazy meter where we judge, like, from 1 to 10 how crazy Rebecca was in this episode. So Miriam,
wait, since, 10 being the craziest?
Yeah, 10 being the craziest.
Let's see, we have obsessed with a book, kidnapping, hallucinogenics, her eating a heart. Yeah, no, she was definitely bat crazy. I'd say she was along the lines of, like, her normals to me would be like an 8. She was teetering on, like, a 9.
Very nice. I feel like, for me, this episode, I give it a 6. I give it a 6 because she was crazy. She was getting out her emotions. The Valencia thing is, like, nuts, but I don't put it past Rebecca. I feel like there's some episodes where I'm like... Oh, I'm like, what is that? There are some episodes where I'm like, oh my gosh, she needs to, like, be in a prison. She's terrifying. But in this episode, she scared me, but I wasn't, like, running for the hills. So I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I say I'll have to give it a 7. Basically, the most craziest that I've seen her do was pee on the equipment. That was a bit, that was a bit absurd.
It was
crazy.
Extreme. Literally, like, extreme.
There was, I mean, I guess when it comes to crazy ex-girlfriend antics, you can either key a car or pee on equipment. You pick. So, it was definitely a 7 for me. So, I was excited to see what's going to happen next. It's going to be a great break. I mean, you know, we're going to be having Thanksgiving, but of course we're going to miss not coming in next week. But before we leave, I just want to have you guys know that we are, you know, found on AfterBuzzTV.com, or what you can do is you subscribe, like, retweet, also do great things like follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. And if you're just listening on the road and maybe you're on a road trip, go ahead and download us on iTunes and you can listen to us all the time. You don't even have to watch it. You can just listen. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Your Girl Trinae. And where can they find you?
You can find me, Miriam L. Gonzalez, on Twitter.
Hey guys, I'm Renee Ariel. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel, and follow my blog, catslipstickla.com.
Yeah, go ahead and follow that blog. She has some crazy ex-girlfriend stuff. And
I do.
You can also just go ahead and just stay tuned. You know, we'll update you on some cool stuff that we see during the break, maybe, if we come across, or if you have anything, any teasers that you want to send us that we didn't see in this teaser that they showed, go ahead. We love interacting with you, and we love hearing what you have to say and giving us ideas. And we will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.